We begin the current daf in Masechtas Kedushin, daf Chav Tes. We begin 12 lines down from the top of the Amud, but the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which this segues into a related discussion, which the Rishonim bring down. One of the concepts mentioned is that regarding Kedushin, about the father's obligation to marrying off his son. That's how it gets into this topic of Kibud Av V'Em, regarding the obligations that a child has to a parent and that a parent has to a child. Again, one of them is marrying off his child. So the Mishnah begins, Kol Mitzvos HaBen Ala Av. All the commandments of the son that are on the father, which the Gemara will explain the Mishnah what that means. So anashim chayavim v'nashim b'turis. So men are obligated and women are exempt. Now v'chol mitzvos ha'av al haben, and all the commandments that there are of the father on the son, echad anashim echad nashim chayavim. That men and women are both obligated. Now the Mishnah continues and says v'chol mitzvos ha'seh shezman gerama. Now that it's talking about the mitzvahs that. There's discrepancies between men and women, so the Mishnah continues on this topic. Any mitzvah that it's a time-bound mitzvah, meaning that the timing is what has caused this mitzvah to be an obligation right now. So men are obligated and women are exempt. Women are not obligated in mitzvah saseh shazman gerama, in time-bound mitzvahs. Now, v'chol mitzvah saseh shaloyaz man gerama, but any positive commandment that's not a time-bound mitzvah, it's at all times, or it's not caused by the time, Echad ha-noshim, echad ha-noshim chayav, and then both men and women are obligated in that mitzvah. Now that's regarding positive commandments. Says the Mishnah, b'chol mitzvos lo yisaseh. Now every negative commandment, meaning a shall not do, bein shasman gerama, bein shalo yasman gerama, whether it's time bound or not, echad ha-noshim, echad ha-noshim chayav, and both men and women are obligated. Chutz, however, except the Mishnah says there are three exceptions, mi bal takif, from the prohibition of making around the rounding off the corners of the head, what's called the peyos, which is the corners which you can't round off the hair to go straight all the way back and not have the sideburns. That is a negative prohibition which does not apply to women. And ubal tashchis, the prohibition of destroying the corners of the beard, which is to use a razor, which again that does not apply to women. Ubal tetam lemesim, and the prohibition that applies to kahanim of not becoming ritually impure by coming in contact with dead people, that again only applies to B'nai Aharon, not B'nai Aharon, not to the women that are from Kahanim. So that's the Mishnah. Now, the Gemara asks to explain these first two halachas of the Mishnah. My kol mitzvos haben al av. What does it mean when it says in the Mishnah that regarding all the mitzvahs that are on the son, that are of the son on the father? So the Gemara says, Ile mekol mitzvos d'mechayiv b'ro l'mev l'abba. If you would entertain to say that it means that all the mitzvahs that a son is obligated for his father, in other words, and you would interpret the words of the Mishnah, kol mitzvos shehaben mitzuv alav, meaning when it says kol mitzvos haben al av, meaning all the mitzvahs that a son has in regards to his father. So that's what you're saying, that anashim chayav and anashim abaturis. On that, the Gemara asks, anashim abaturis? Would that really be the case, that women would be exempt from obligations that they have to their parents, to the father? But Vatanya, Linda Brysa, according to Pasuk of Meyikra that talks about the obligation for a child to fear their parent, it says ish. Opens up with a man. It says ish. Now, says the Brysa, Inli Eli ish. I would only know that this obligation to fear the parent only applying to a man. Isha minayin. How would I know it applies to a woman too? So Keshuamu, when the Pasuk says ish, a man, imeva aviv, his mother and his father, tiro, they shall fear, harikan shnayim. Well, obviously referring to two people because it's in the plural. So it's torn to two people, it must mean not only the son, but even the daughter. So you see that regarding the obligation that a child has to a parent, it's not just for anashim, it's also anashim too. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, Hachakama, what the Mishnah was saying was, when it says, Kol mitzvos haben al av, wasn't saying that all the mitzvahs that a son has in regards to his father. Rather, Hachakama, Kol mitzvos haben hamutolis al ha'av lasas libenoi. All the mitzvahs that are, when it says, kol mitzvos haben ala av, meaning all the commandments that apply, that are regards to a son, that are incumbent on the father, that he has to do for his son, as the Gemara will shortly quote in the Braisa, and then anashim chayavim v'nashim b'turis. It's only the men, meaning the father, that's obligated to do those things for his child, for his ben, but the women are actually exempt. As the Gemara says, tanin lohad d'tan rabban, and this supports what we had learned in the Braisa, this interpretation of the halacha of our Mishnah, that says, av chayiv b'bnoi. A father, again, as we're saying, it's only the anashim, the men, that are mitzuvan for the ben al-av, meaning the obligations, the mitzvahs to be fulfilled in the son. that are incumbent on the parents, on the father, is only the father, meaning anoshim, and not the noshim. The mother is not obligated in the following commandments to do for her child. But the father is. And what are they? So ha'av chai b'noi is obligated to do for his son, l'mayloi. He has to make sure he circumcises him, u'lefdeisai, and that is he has to redeem him for the five sloim, the coins, if his son is a firstborn. It's called a pinya ben. Ulalam de Torah, he has to teach him Torah. Ulasi Isha, he has to marry him off to a woman. And all these things, the Gemara is going to bring sources from the Pesukim. Ulalam de Umnus, he has to teach him a profession. The Yeshem, and there are those that say Aflashit b'mayim. He even has to teach him how to be able to swim in water in the river, because he might one time take a journey by boat and it's going to sink and he's going to be in danger of his life if he doesn't know how to swim. So you have to teach him that too. Rabbi Hudaimer, he says, whoever doesn't teach his son a profession, melamde listus, teaches him how to become a bandit. Now the Gemara asks, listus, is he teaching him a profession of thievery? But he didn't teach him anything. So now the Gemara says, you're right, it's like he has taught him to become a bandit, because since he's not, doesn't have any profession, and he's not going to have food to eat, so he's going to go by the crossroads, and he's going to rob everybody that passes by, because what's he do? What's a guy's going to do to survive? He has to do what it takes. And therefore, it's like you're teaching him listus if you don't teach him a profession. So now the Gemara elaborates at length the sources for these halachas. So he said in the Brayso, the first item that a father, again, which is what the halacha of our Mishnah was saying, is only the father, not the mother, is obligated to do it for his son, which mitzvahs? L'moylai, to circumcise him. So the Gemara asks, Menolim, where do we know that that's the obligation of the father to do for his son? So the chesed, like it says in Bereishis, it says Vayom al Avram es Yitzchak benoy, that Avram circumcised his son Yitzchak. You see, the father has to do it for his child. Now, however, says the Brayso, v'heichad olei mali avua, but if the father didn't circumcise the son, mechayev beidina lememalei, then the courts have to go out and circumcise this child. The chesed, like it says in the previous pasuk, himoy lochem kol zacher, you should circumcise for yourselves all the males, meaning the Jewish people collectively are obligated to circumcise the Jewish children. Now, the heichad olei mali beidina. Now, if the courts didn't go ahead and circumcise this child, mechayev ihu lemimel nafshei, he himself, when he becomes an adult, has to circumcise himself. So, like it says over there in Bereishis, it says v'arul zachal, v'arul zachar, that a male uncircumcised child, ashal yimelis besar olasa, that doesn't circumcise the flesh of his foreskin, v'nechrasa, then he gets karas. So you see that he has the own obligation if by himself, if his father didn't do it for him. Now the Gemara Brayso continues, ihi menolim dolei mechayva. How do we know that she, the mother, is not obligated to circumcise her child? Like it says over the pasuk over there, it says kasher tziva oisa elikim. It says that Avraham Avinu circumcised his son Yitzchak, like Hashem had commanded him. So the understanding is oisa ibloy oisa. Hashem had commanded him Avraham and not her, meaning and not Sarah, which the mother is not obligated. Now the Gemara asks ashkechon miyat. So we have a source immediately, meaning then by Avraham Avinu, that for him it was told this obligation to circumcise his son. L'daris menal, and how do we know that applies to future generations too, that the father has that obligation? So the Gemara says, Tanna Rebbe Shmuel was taught in the Brayso of Yeshiva Rebbe Shmuel, Kol Mokom Shenemer Tzav, wherever it says the term in the Torah, commanding, where here it says that, Kasher Tzivo Eisa Elikim, so Eina Ela, there's two concepts that it's illustrating. Eina Ela Ziris, it's illustrating a point of having alacrity, that a person should be swift to quickly execute that thing, and also that it applies miyadu l'daris, that it's from something right now, and for all future generations too. As the Gemara explains, ziris d'chsev, where do we see that the term tzav is related to empowering someone and to motivating them to do it immediately? Like it says a pasuk in Devarim, it says, v'tzav es Yeshua, command Yeshua, v'chaskeyu v'amtzeyu, and strengthen them and support him and fortify him. So we see that the term tzav is related to being mechazik someone, to being mezara someone. Now, moreover, umiyad l'daris, and how do we know that it illustrates that it should be now and forever? The Pesuk says the pasuk in Bamidbar, it says min hayoyim asher tziv Hashem, from today that Hashem commanded you v'hala, and moving forward l'daris echem, for your future generations. We see over there in that pasuk where it says tzav, it says miyad u'l'daris. So that's why the term tzav connotes zirus miyad u'l'daris. And that's how, since it's said over there the term tzav, that's how we know that the halacha of a father circumcising his child applies to future generations too. So that was the first item of the Brayso. Then the Brayso said, Lefdoisei, the father has an obligation to redeem his firstborn son. It's his obligation. So the Gemara asks, where do we know that from? That's like it says a pasuk in Shemais. It says kol b'char b'necha tifta, that all the firstborns of your sons you should redeem. So you see, that's the obligation of the father. Now says the Braisa, as I said regarding circumcision, v'heichad le'par kavu, but if his father didn't redeem him, mechayiv ihu le'mifrikei. So he has to go ahead and redeem himself. In other words, when he's a firstborn and his father didn't redeem him, then he has to redeem himself. Tachsev, like it says in the pasuk Ma'amidbar, it says podei tifta. It says this double terminology of redeeming, surely he should redeem him, which tells you that not only does the father have to redeem him, but if his father didn't, he has to redeem himself. Now, the Braisa continues, says, now, ve'ihi, now, however, har, meaning regards to the mother, menalon de lo mifkada. How do we know, as we said, which was illustrated in the halacha of our Mishnah, that these are only incumbent upon the father? How do we know that she is not commanded to redeem, to be paida, the firstborn of her son? Now, the reason why this is a question is because, essentially, this is a mitzvah saseh shaloy hazman gerama. It's not a time-bound mitzvah. It starts at a certain point, and then it's forever. You have to fulfill that mitzvah. So that's why we need a pasuk to exclude the mother, because although she's not mechuyev in mitzvah saseh shaloy hazman gerama, but if that's hazman gerama, but since it's not a time-bound mitzvah, it applies at all times, therefore it should apply to the mother too, because women are mechuyev in mitzvah saseh shaloy hazman gerama. So the Chsiv says, the Braisa, the reason why she doesn't have to is because it says in the pasuk tifta, that she should redeem. Now, additionally, you could read it tipoda, that shall become redeemed. So it's both the acting it on someone else, and the word could be read acting upon oneself, to redeem someone else, and being redeemed oneself. So on that, the Braisa explains, it comes to teach you the following idea. Kol shemitzuva liftis es atzmai, whoever has to redeem themselves. That's how we read it. So mitzvah liftis is achayim. That type of person has to redeem someone else. That's how it's written. Now, that's actually how we read it too. But it's actually written in a way that it could be read tipada. Now, v'chol she'ein mitzvah liftis is asma. Whoever doesn't have to redeem themselves, which is a reference to the woman, ein mitzvah liftis achayim, does not have to redeem other people. So that's why, since she herself doesn't have to redeem herself as a firstborn child, so she doesn't have to redeem her firstborn child. Now that the Braisa asks, how do we know that she doesn't have to redeem herself? In other words, because although we know that obviously the father, as the Gemara will shortly explain, does not have to redeem her, because the pasuk says, b'char b'necha, the firstborn of your sons, but I could still entertain, that's the Gemara's question, that maybe when the girl is the firstborn child, she should have to redeem herself when she becomes an adult. Because as we said, you could read the word tipodeh. So it's not just saying that the father has to redeem the child. The child themselves, it's a referencing redeeming themselves. And that's how we said that that's why the child, when he becomes an adult, has to redeem himself from that reading it of tipodeh. So obviously, there's a commandment on the child themselves. Now, this is a mitzvah saseh shaloy hazman gerama. That's not a time-bound mitzvah. So who said that she doesn't have to redeem herself? The pasuk that says regarding the parent, yes, the parent only has to redeem the firstborn child that's a male, b'char b'necha. But maybe the child themselves, even if she's a female, since she's the firstborn child, would have to redeem herself when she is able to. So how could you say the reason why she doesn't have to redeem her son is because she doesn't have to redeem herself? Maybe she does have to redeem herself. So on that, the Braisa explains, the same halacha, it works the other way. The chsiv, because it says in the pasuk, tifte tipode, which is again comparing the obligation to redeem someone else and the obligation to redeem oneself, which the interpretation here works, kol sha'acher mitzuv m'lif da'isai, whenever others are obligated to redeem him, meaning if the father has to redeem this person, that's tifdeh, then mitzuv m'lif da'isai, then you're obligated to redeem yourself, that's tipodeh. Now, v'chol sha'acher mitzuv m'lif da'isai, but when others don't have to redeem him. Again, the previous interpretation was saying regarding redeeming the one's child, if you have that obligation, you're comparing tifta to tipodeh. Here it's saying, regarding the person themselves, regarding do others have to redeem them, if here that others don't have to redeem them, because the father doesn't, as it says in the pasuk b'char b'necha, so then there's no obligation to redeem oneself. So that's how we know that she doesn't have an obligation to redeem herself, because her father doesn't have to redeem her. So it's not tifta tipodeh. Now that she doesn't have an obligation to redeem herself, that again, you could use the same tifta tipodeh, that's why she doesn't have to redeem her child. Because whoever doesn't have to redeem themselves, so one's going from tifta to tipodeh, and one's going from tipodeh to tifta, which is, since she's not applicable in tipodeh, she doesn't have to redeem herself, so there's no matifta, she doesn't have to redeem her own child. So it goes her father, her child. Now, the Braisa continues, which we had assumed up until now, that how do we know that others don't have to redeem her? That's not my car, like the Pasuk says, but that all the firstborns of your sons you should redeem, which tells you, your sons and not your daughters, so therefore we know the father doesn't have to redeem her. So therefore, if others don't have to redeem her, which is tifteh, so she doesn't have to redeem herself, that's tipodeh. And when she doesn't have to redeem herself, which is tipodeh, so then again you apply tifteh back again, that's why she doesn't have to redeem her own child. Continuing on these halachas of pinya ben, regarding the obligation of one on one's child and one on oneself if the parent didn't redeem. So Tanabon, learn the braisa. Who lift dice? Let's say the man, the father, has his own obligation to redeem himself, which let's say his father didn't redeem him. Ubenoi lift dice, and he has a child now, and he has the obligation to redeem his own child. What's the halacha? Says the Tanna Kamma, who koidin libnoi? He comes before his child. The first five salam he has, he goes ahead and he uses it to redeem himself. Now Rabbi Huda, I mean, he disagrees. He says, benoi koidin. No, he has to redeem his child first. Why? Shezeh mitzvah say al aviv. Because the primary mitzvah of his own pinya ben was on his father. And vizeh mitzvah benoi alav. Whereas the one regarding his child is actually incumbent upon him. So, although yes, if his father doesn't do it, he got to do it himself. But that's not the primary. So therefore, the primary one is his mitzvah on his child. So first he redeems his son, and then he would redeem himself. Now, Amr B'Yirmi, he actually qualifies this machlokes. And he says, Hakol Magdim, actually everyone would agree, as we continue on Talmud Beis, Kol Heicha Delekam, where there isn't, meaning that this guy doesn't have assets, El Chamish Shlam, he actually only has five Shlam, he says, everyone would agree who Koidim Libnai. No, for sure, he redeems himself before his child. Even Rabbi Huda would agree. My time, what's the reason? Because mitzvah de guf adifa, the mitzvah that applies to one's own body, is more preferable, is more primary than even though it was his father's obligation first, but now it's his own body that wasn't redeemed, he takes care of that first before his son. Now, explains, but he says, ki pligi, when did they disagree? Hecha de ikka chamish mishubadim. It's talking about a unique case, where he has five sloim that are mishubad, that are incumbent properties by someone else, v'chamish b'nei chayrin, and he has five that are available. In other words, he had sold off a land that was worth five sloim, and he has five that he has in the bank. So Rabbi Huda holds as follows. When he said b'nei chayrin, he was saying based on the following premise. Milva d'chsiv batari, he holds that a loan that's written in the Torah, what does that mean? It means to say that there's a document usually. When someone lends someone money, that lender has on the borrower a shibud on all his nechasim. Now, that he goes ahead and sells properties, that's encumbered to the lender. So if the borrower defaults, he can go to anyone that had purchased land after that point of the loan and says, look, I had a document that was outstanding on him and his properties. You purchased it. It was indebted to me. I'm going to go ahead and collect from you. So Rabbi Huda held that a loan written in the Torah, meaning to say an obligation, let's say, of pidyon haben, of redeeming the firstborn child, is written in the Torah, that there's an obligation. It's like Hashem has an outstanding debt on the person that you have to pay up these five slum to give it to the kayan. Now, anyone that purchases land after that obligation is encumbered those lands and meshubid to the kayan. So he held that when a loan that's written in the Torah, it's kiksuv b'shtarjam, it's like as if it's written in the document. Now, therefore, regarding his own redemption, he obviously was liable in that before his lands were meshubid, and therefore the kohen would be able to go ahead and grab from the kuches regarding his own pidyon to redeem himself as a firstborn child. Now, therefore, bahani chamish, the five that he has in his pocket, the five sloim parik lebrei, that's why Rabbi Huda says he uses that first to redeem his son. Now, as Rashi explains, that's not going to be considered oina, some type of a cheating for the lekuches, because hey, why are you going ahead and using those five to redeem your child, and then, oh, so you're going to be stuck, and therefore then you're going to use the five of bar I have that I'm a shubitash to the kayin, because for your own redemption, first maybe redeem yourself. So that Rashi explains that, no, and that's what Rabbi Huda's opinion is based on, because actually the obligation that he has to his son, and that's the wording that he used, is primary in the sense of kedima, which one comes first, since mitzvah benoi is on him, and his own redemption is on his own father. So yes, in regards to coming first, when there's only five, so then yes, his mitzvah de gufa is adifa. But when he could get both, then is it only matter about what's the order? The order is going to be his son first. So he uses the five that are available to redeem his son. Ah, then the Kohen goes and grabs from the Lekuchais L'chamish Meshubadim L'didei, for the five that are Meshubad to his own, meaning to redeem himself. Because as we said, a Milva HaKesuv B'Torah is K'Kesuv B'Shtar. So the Lekuchais that purchased after this guy had already had the obligation once he became an adult, and then at a later point in time he sold land, that five Slom are Meshubad to the Kohen. So that's why you do the son first, from the B'nei Chayrin, from the available coins, and then Meshubadim, the coin will be able to collect for himself from the Lekuchas. Now, but Rabban held, however, when they said that, who Kaidim that no, that what you have, the five available, you redeem the man, the father himself, not his child, because they hold Milva Diksiv by Raisa alone, so to speak, meaning a Torah obligation that's written in the Torah, Lafke Suv Bashtar Dam. It's not like it's written in the document. In other words, you cannot collect from a Torah obligation from Meshubadim. And v'hilkach mitzvah d'gufei adav, and therefore the mitzvah, since you're not going to be able to collect, so you really only have five, because the five mishabadim are out of the picture, therefore, what do you do with those five? That again, everyone agrees, mitzvah d'gufei is adav. It's only a question about order. That maybe you could say that this child is first, but since the Rabban don't have that option of the mishabadim, because they don't hold it, kiksur b'shtar dami, so you really only have five, that's why they said, who atzmai kadim, you redeem the father himself, and then when he'll have five, he'll redeem his child. Now, in a related discussion, the Gemara says, "Tarabon l'na brisa, leftis es benoi v'lalis l'rega." Let's say he has two mitzvahs in front of him right now. He has an obligation to redeem his firstborn son, and he also has to go ahead and go up to Yerushalayim for the regal, for the yomtiv, for the shalosh regalim. So, what does he do first? So, the Tanakhama says, "Poides benoi v'achkech oil regal." He first redeems his son, and then he goes up to Yerushalayim to bring the karbanis to be oil regal. Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, he disagrees. He says, "Oil regal va'achkach poides benoi." No, first you go up to the base of Migdash, to the Yamtiv, and then afterwards you redeem your son. And he explains why. Shazum mitzvah iveres, vizum mitzvah she'en iveres. Because the mitzvah of alila regal is a time limited mitzvah. It's going to pass. If you don't go in the next few days, the Yamtiv is going to be over. You're not going to be able to bring your carbon. Whereas the mitzvah pinya ben, it's an obligation, but it's not going to pass. You could do it as long as the person's still alive. And even after that, we're as long as you could go ahead and pay it up, you have to pay it up. So therefore, you first do what's going to pass, and then you do what's not going to pass. Now, so the Gemara asks, Bishlam and Behuda, we very well understand the current of Behuda, can it come a timer, as he explained the reason for his opinion. El Rabbanu Mai Tamai, what's the reason, Rabbanu? Why do they say first redeem your son, and then whatever, you might go ahead and miss this mitzvah. Why do you do a mitzvah she'en oiveres first? So they say, Dama Kirk is based on the Pasuk in Shemais. It actually says, Kol b'chor b'necha tift, it says that all your firstborn sons you should redeem. V'hadin, and the Pasuk says, Lo yiru panarekim, you shouldn't see my face empty, which is the halacha of alila regal, which is bring karbanis when you come up by one of the shalosh regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. And since it says that order, it's telling us to first do pinya ben, and then do alila regal. Tan Rabban Linda Bryce, so again, continue on this halacha pinya ben. Minayin shim hoyloi chamesh banim, mechamesh nashim. How do we know that if someone has five firstborn sons from five different women, shchayv lifter is cool, and he has to redeem all of them. He has to do pinya ben in all of them. Tamalev, as the pasuk teaches in Shemais, as we just quoted it, kol b'char b'necha tifta, all your firstborn sons you should redeem. What's all? To say that even if you have many firstborn sons. So the Gemara's pshita is pretty obvious. But peter rechem tol rachmana, the pasuk that talks about pinya ben says, it's the one that broke open the womb. It's the first one that came out. That's the obligation. So obviously it's dependent on the woman, not on the man. So obviously it's every woman that it's her firstborn coming out of the womb. So why would we need a special pasuk to teach that he has obligations more than one? Of course, not him. It's regarding her. So the Gemara says, "Madat tamei nelef b'char b'char menachla," because we would have thought that additionally you learn out the halachas of the firstborn regarding pinya ben from the halachas of the firstborn by inheritance, which is malahal and reishis oinah, just like over there by inheritance. It's the firstborn relating to the first of his strength, which refers to the first zera that comes out of the man, meaning whichever woman. It's not every firstborn of the woman, it's actually the firstborn of the man. So Avkan Reishis Oinoi, I would have thought here by Pinya Ben, it also applies to Reishis Oinoi, his first vigor, which would be only the first woman that he had a firstborn son with, not every firstborn of every woman. Gemash Rolon, that's what the Pasuk is teaching, that no, it's only Peter Rechem, and that it's not additionally also Reishis Oinoi. And that's why it says, "Kol b'char b'necha tifta," which is if you have five firstborn sons from five women, he obligated him pinya ben in all of them. Now, continuing on the brisa from Amud Aleph, we said that the father has an obligation to his son, the lamdei Torah, to teach him Torah. So the Gemara says, Menalim, where do we know this halacha from? The chesed, like it says, a pasuk in Devar, says, v'lemadetem oisem es b'neichem, that you should teach this, which is the Torah, to your sons. So you see the obligation is to teach one's son Torah. Now, says the brisa, v'heichadu le'agmer avu, as we said regarding Mila and Pinya Ben, but where the father didn't teach him Torah, mechayiv ihu le'migmer nafshi, he has to teach himself. The chesed, like it says in a different pasuk, says ulamadetem, which this in Devar and Parakeh, it says ulamadetem oisim, that you should learn it, ushmartem lasoisim, you should safeguard to do it, meaning you have to teach yourself. So if your father didn't teach you, you have to teach yourself. Now the bride says, ihi minolam dole mechaiva, how do we know that the mother is not obligated to teach her son Torah? As we said, that's the opening halacha of our Mishnah, it's only anoshim chayav and anoshim apaturis. The chesed, like it says in the pasuk, vilamadetem, meaning the pasuk of vilamadetem es b'neichem, that you should teach your sons, so you could also read it, ulamadetem, and that you should learn it, which is coming to compare to say that since she's not obligated to learn, she doesn't have to teach, which is, again, as we said, the similar drasha by Pinya Ben, kol shemitzuva lumoid, mitzuva lalamid. Who is ever obligated to learn, because that's what you learn out from the way you could read it, ulamadetem, so that's the one that's obligated, lamid, to teach, which is vilamadetem. But whoever is not obligated to learn Torah themselves doesn't have the obligation to teach Torah. Now, ask the Brisa of Imanolam Dulay Mechayiv Lamelef Nasha, how do we know that she's not obligated to learn herself? Which learning Torah is at all times, it's not Zman Gerama. That's still like it says in the Pasuk, Vilamadetem Ulamadetem. And again, this is the same idea that we said by Pinya Ben, which it starts off by the father to his daughter and then the daughter to her own son. Where it says v'lamadim that you should teach, and it says v'lamadim that you should learn, which tells you kol shachir mitzuv m'lamdei, wherever someone else is obligated to teach him, meaning when the father has an obligation to teach that child, the mitzuv l'lamed asatzmai. So that child, if the father doesn't teach him, would have an obligation to teach himself. But v'sha'in achir mitzuv m'lamdei, whenever that another would not have to teach him, se'in mitzuv l'lamed asatzmai, then he doesn't have to teach himself. And the brisa continues, how do we know that others, meaning the father, doesn't have an obligation to teach his daughter Torah? The makra, because the pasuk says, that you should teach this, the words of Torah, to your sons, which tells you, not to your daughters. So again, just like Bepinya Ben, we said, that from the same word of ulamadetem, which one says to teach others and one says to teach yourself, says that since the father doesn't have an obligation to teach his daughter, which is v'lamadetem, so then she doesn't have an obligation to teach herself, which is ulamadetem. And since she doesn't have ulamadetem to teach herself, so then she doesn't have v'lamadetem to teach her own child Torah. Now, Torah Rabbanu, we learn the braisa. Hu l'lmaid u'benoy l'lmaid. Again, similar to the discussion before regarding Pinya Ben. So if, let's say, he has an obligation to learn Torah himself, let's say his own father didn't teach him Torah, and u'benoy l'lmaid, and his son has his own obligation to, and his son has a mitzvah to learn Torah. So it says the Tanna Kamma, who called him Libnai? If let's say there's only that much money to go around and they can only support one person learning Torah, so he has the obligation to learn first. His own mitzvah is more important than teaching his son Torah. Now Rabbi Huda says, Im Bnai Zaris, if his son is diligent, umamulach, and successful, b'tamudim iskan b'yadai, and he's able to retain his learning, in other words, his father sees that his son is going to be able to learn better than him, and he doesn't have enough parnasa to support the both of them, so Bnai Kaidmai, so Rabbi Huda says, his son comes first. Again, similar to like the machlokes by Pinya Ben, that his son said his son is first. He should teach his son, and he should be busy working and supporting his son to learn Torah. As the Gemara illustrates, ki hadri Rav Yaakov bereid Rav Acha bar Yaakov, that shadri avu lekameda Abaya. His father sent him to learn by Abaya, the great Abaya. Now, ki also, when they came home from yeshiva, chazied d'loyhave mechadin shmaite. His father saw that he wasn't so sharp and well versed in his learning. So Amalei, his father said to him, look, I am better than you at learning. Tuv at, you stay here. The Islam, no, because I'm going to go to yeshiva. Because as we said, this concept, even Rabbi Hudu says the son goes first, is only if the son's better. If not, you have your own obligation of learning Torah. So Shama Abaye dekava asli. So Abaye heard that his father, who was a great Talmud Chacham, was coming. So hava hahu mazik be rabban da Abaye. There was a certain mazik, some type of a demonic force, that was in the yeshiva of Abaya. And that was because the Beis HaMedrash was very far from where the settlement of the people were. And that's where Mazikim hang out. that it was so dangerous, the chava aile betrain, that even when two people, generally the mazik only harms when there's one person, here even when there were two people, and afila b'yamama, because they usually are more harmful by nighttime, and here was even by the daytime, have a mitzaki, it would still damage people. So amahu, so he said to all the people, no one should host Rav Acha and let him stay the night because he's coming to learn by us in yeshiva. Don't let him stay in your house. And by default, he's going to have nowhere to stay but in the Beis HaMedrash. Now, because of his piety, maybe a miracle is going to happen, and the mazik, he's going to kill the mazik when he's going to encounter him when he comes to the Beis HaMedrash. So the story continues, he came in bus, he spent the night Bahu Be'erabanan in the Beis HaMedrash. Now, Idamile, the mazik appeared to him, Kitanina de Shiva Reshvasa, like a serpent that had seven heads, seven skulls. Kol Kri de Kara, now, every bowing that Rav Acha did when he was davening regarding this mazik, Notr Chad Resha, another head of the serpent, was fell off. Now, Amalhu Lamacher, he told them the following day, Eloy Yisrach HaShnisa, if a miracle had not happened to me, Sakintin, you had put me in a dangerous position, I could have been harmed from this mazik. But again, that was illustrating this idea about B'noi Kaidma is only if the son is a better learner than the father. Tanaban Luna Braisa. Lilmay Taira Balisa Isha. Again, similar to like we said before, when someone has two mitzvahs to do, where we said in the previous discussion of Alila Regal and Pinya Ben, where we had that machloikis, what do you do first? So now the Braisa brings, let's say someone has an obligation to learn Taira, and he also has an obligation to get married. So what do you do first? Says the Braisa, Yilmo Taira Va'achach Yisa Isha. First you learn Taira, and then you marry a woman. Now, V'im Iyaf Shaloi B'loi Isha. Now, if the Braisa says, if it's impossible for this guy without a woman, which the Tezri Azokin says because his inclination regarding these areas are overpowering him, so Yisa Isha Va'achach Yilmo Taira. So he should first get married, and then he'll learn Taira. Now, Amr Rabbi Huda Mashmuel, he says, Halacha, the Halacha is, Noisa Isha Va'achach Yilmo Taira. A person should first get married, and then they should learn Taira. Now, Rabbi Yechon Amar, he says, what do you mean? A person could have the yoke on his neck and learn Torah? How can a person get married when he has all the obligations of family life and learn Torah? Now, the Gemara actually says, actually, Shmuel and Rabbi Yechon are not in disagreement. Because ha, the halacha of Shmuel applied lun to us, meaning here in Bavel, where the Talmudic scholars in Bavel would go and learn their Mishnayos, which were the Tanoic text from the Tanoim in Eretz Yisrael, from those who taught the Brises. Now, since they went to learn very far from where they lived, so they didn't have to take care of the household needs, and there wasn't incumbent upon them. So regarding such a person, that's what Shmuel said, that he should marry a woman first, because then he won't have all the illicit thoughts about women, and then he'll be free to clear his mind, and then he can go ahead and learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael, which is more preferable. But v'halahu, Rabbi Yechonin's halacha was regarding them in Eretz Yisrael, where that's where Rabbi Yechonin was referring to, which they learned where they lived in Eretz Yisrael. Now, if you're going to get married to a woman, then he's going to have all the household needs to take care of, and it's going to be mevatlum from his learning. And if Rabbi Yechonin says, no, you definitely can't get married and then learn, because you're not going to have the focus necessary to succeed in your learning. So again, that's where the difference is that if a person will not have the household obligations, definitely get married so that you take care of your Yetzahara. But if you're going to have the household obligations, it's not going to be feasible to learn normally. Now the Gemara illustrates a story that says Mishtabech le Rav Chizdil Rav Huna midrav Avnuna da Adam Gadlhu. Rav Chizda was praising to Rav Huna regarding Rav Avnuna that he was a very great person. So Amalis Rav Huna said to Rav Chizda, Kisha Yavay Liyatra have a Yuliyadi, when he comes to you, bring him to me. Now Kiyasa, when Rav Avnuna came, Chazi, so Rav Huna saw regarding Rav Avnuna, the Le Parasudra, that he wasn't wearing a headscarf, he wasn't wearing a kerchief the way married men used to do in Talmudic times, which they would cover their heads. So Amalei, Rav Huna said to Rav Avnuna, my time, Amalei, priest is Sudra, why aren't you wearing a Sudra? So Amalei, Delei Nesivni, says, because I'm not married. So Rav Huna turned his face away from Rav Avnuna. Amalei, he said to him, Chazi Delei Chazes Lula Ape Adin Sabas. He says, make sure you don't see my face until you get married. Now, the Gemara explains, Rav Huna Lutamei, Rav Huna was going according to his opinion, and this is related to the previous Gemara's discussion about, albeit someone wants to learn Torah, but there's an obligation to get married too. The Amma that Rav Huna said, Ben Esim Shana B'loi Nasi Isha, if someone is 20 years old and he hasn't gotten married yet, Kol Yomav Ba'avera, all his days are in sin. The Gemara says, Ba'avera Sokadaitach, would you entertain all his days are in sin? Elaim would rather say, Kol Yomav Behira Avera, all his days he'll have the thoughts of sin. And that is because once you reach a certain age, there's that influx of hihurim rhyme about thoughts that are inappropriate for an unmarried man. And therefore he felt that if by age 20 you didn't get married, it will impact the psyche of a person regarding illicit thoughts. And so to Amar Rabbi, Rabbi says, V'chein tanit b'Rabbi Shmuel, it was taught in the Braisa of Yeshiva B'Rabbi Shmuel, ad chav shana, until a person reaches age 20, Yeshiva HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzapa l'adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits, and he anticipates for a man, Masa yisa isha, when will he marry a woman? Now, kivin shegi achav v'loi nasam, once he reaches age 20 and he didn't get married, Aymer, he says, tipech atzmoisav, let his bones swell. In other words, a type of a curse, saying Hashem is saying that you have to get married, that's the appropriate approach and the antidote to the Yetzihara. Moreover, Amr Rav Chizda says, Haida difna mechavroi. Rav Chizda says, this that I was better than my colleagues, the nesivna b'shitza, because I got married at 16. V'yavin nesivna b'arbeis, and had I got married at 14, as we continue on top of Laman Manalf, havamin l'satan, I would have said to the satan, who the satan is the Yetzihara, the evil inclination, gira be'inecha, arrows in your eye. In other words, I would provoke him, and I wouldn't be afraid that he would cause me to sin, because I would be so confident in the fact that I was never exposed to elements that were inappropriate for me developmentally, because I was at an age where I was able to harness that and engage that in the intimacy necessary between the husband and the wife. Now, related to this discussion, Amalei Ravel Rab Nassim Ba'ami says, Adiyodach al tzavri devrich, while your hand is still on the neck of your son. In other words, when you still have your influence is still on your son before he becomes older and he won't receive your rebuke, you should marry him. You should marry him off to a woman already at that young age, which is mishitzer from the age of 16. That's the age when he's eligible to get married. Vad eser matarti until age 22, but definitely don't delay more than age 22. That's one interpretation in Rashi. Another interpretation Rashi brings, which he says is the primary interpretation, is that when you still have influence over your son, then you should be careful at those times to give him the appropriate rebuke. Now, what period of time is that? That's from 16 to 22. Because lower than 16, he doesn't have the intelligence and the intellect and the understanding to receive rebuke and direction so much. And therefore, don't weigh him down and bog him down by afflictions and rebuke. And moreover, over age 22, you got to be concerned that he's going to just reject everything that you're giving him. And therefore, it's got to be between the ages of 16 and 22, because under 16 is too young, and over 22, it's too late. Now, the Amrilan, some say it's actually mitamni sreya de esrim barbat, from 18 to 24. And the Gemara says kitanoi, it's actually the same machlekes we find in Tanoim, as we learned in the Braisa. It's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, chanoich lanar al pidarkei, that you should train the youth according to his way. In other words, the way that, as the pasuk there concludes, gam ki yaskin lo yosef, and that also when he becomes older, he will never leave that way. In other words, you should train him in a way that he should accustom himself, that even through his youth, that he will continue all through his life. Now, what is this age group of Nar that we said you should train him when then you could mold him? Rabbi Yehuda v'Reb Nechemya. So there's two different interpretations. Chad Omer Meshitza Vad Esam Batart, and one says it's from 16 until 22. V'chad Omer Mitam Nisrei Vad Esam Rabo, and one says it's from 18 until 24. That's the age group where he's old enough to understand and not old enough to say that I'm my own adult, I don't need you to tell me, and then he'll reject what you're trying to tell him. That's the age where he's considered a nar, and then you want to be chanechel na'al pidarkei, and then you'll have gam kiyaskin lo yosem imena.